So, respected listeners, we've connected with Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman, inshallah, and he is with us now. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Everything today in South Africa.
Alhamdulillah, all is well. Everything is well. And your side in Pakistan?
Pakistan is Pakistan. It doesn't change. The Islamic Jamhuriyat of Pakistan.
Gee. Mufti Saab, I was asking this question earlier, and I know you're good with this, you know, giving us the correct, inshallah, the correct understanding of this year. We saw on
Inshallah.
BBC, they have quoted a man, a Chinese man, who went on a stabbing rampage. And this was at the Walmart supermarket in Shanghai. He goes, he kills three people, 15 others injured. He's arrested. But in this entire BBC article, I have not seen the word terrorist not once. So how come this is, isn't this double standards, or what's the whole thing here? Can you please explain to us, Mufti Saab?
No, this is typical, okay? This is typical of the Western press. Before Islam, just being a black in America, if someone black did something, like robbing a bank or killing someone, the adjective of what color he was added to the fact that he was a man. A black man stabbed 15 people. Okay, and so now you understand that the stabber was black, and the 15 that were stabbed, they were white, but they're not mentioned. Okay, white people, they don't have to mention their religion or their color when they do something wrong. If a black or now a Muslim does something, his religion is mentioned and he's called a terrorist, and they'll even interview the place that he may have read namaz, okay, and interviewed the imam there. And maybe even the imam doesn't even know who the person was, but they'll associate that person with his masjid and say that masjid was a center of terrorism, and he probably became radicalized in that masjid. All these things are developed, but the person that tried to shoot Trump, the two people that tried to shoot him, very little were known about them. And they were called lone wolves. They were not called terrorists. They were called the people acting by themselves. And so that's generally the pattern with the West, that if the person is not a Muslim or not black or minority like that, then they are either acting alone by themselves, they're not part of any terrorist organization, and or they have mental problems. Okay, so that is it. But every Muslim that does this, he's within his faculties, he's not crazy, and he's always working together with other Muslims. So that's generally the history.
That's interesting, and why it makes it so interesting, because we see on the other end. And you do get this, people still under the misunderstanding, many Muslims who are not clued up, they will also say, but look at ISIS. Why do we have ISIS? But they don't know that ISIS was created by the US just to make Islam look bad and to brand Islam as what we've been saying, terrorism as well. Mufti Saab, just enlighten.
Exactly. There's pictures of the original person who started ISIS, Baghdadi, huh? I think Abu Bakr Baghdadi, I think he called himself, something like this. There's pictures of him shaking hands with, I think, Ronald Reagan or some other American politicians. He was in jail in America, and shortly after he got out of jail, he went to Iraq and declared himself the Khalifa and everything. So yeah, That is the thing. That is the history of America. Inventing America and Israel, sending agents into Islam since Abdullah ibn Sabah. Okay. Since then, it's the same pattern. Sabah, Abdullah ibn Sabah, Sabah's the father of Abdullah, understood that the Muslims cannot be defeated anymore in the war field. All right. So he understood we have to kill Umar, and we have to cause divisions within the Muslims so that they fight themselves, and then the Christian, Jew, and fire worshippers will be able to, you know, get back to their original statuses. Mm. So it's the same thing. It's the same history.
Mm. And when we look at the Middle East, it's a fact. It was a long process of getting these leaders in so that they will not stand for the cause of Islam anymore. And that is exactly what you've said now, all these divisions that are there. We've heard, till today, maybe it's good we address it here as well, people say Nasrullah, Nasrullah, Nasrullah. Yesterday, Mufti Sapa, I spoke to a Palestinian here, and I was so delighted and happy when I got this. I said, you know what, people are saying this here, but what you have, he's from Ramallah, and he came to South Africa. And I said, please enlighten us on this here. What's the view, Aqidah, beliefs of the Palestinians regarding Hezbollah, regarding Nasrullah? You tell me. And he gave such a beautiful answer. He said, you know what? For guns, yeah, bring guns. Bring guns. We want guns. But in terms of Aqidah, he said, La'anahumullah. We curse them. Now, you know, you hear this from us, but when you hear it from a Palestinian himself, and he said, most Palestinians still today, they do not agree with these people. And he said, all what we say about Shias, that they curse Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. He said, how can we ever? He said, for us, this is victory. This is happiness for us. Nasrullah being dead, it's an Eid for us. And this brought so much of joy to know that at least on this basis, because we know that when you need help, then people will bend down so much that they won't be able to then criticize the enemy or criticize the sponsors or the helpers anymore because they are of such a great assistance. But he said, you know, Ismail Haniya, he made it in his wasiyah that you do not bury me in Iran. And he said, for this reason, yeah, all of that we saw, he was going, everything was for deception and to deceive them. But on the nutshell, in the whole thing, he said, even if enemies give us guns to kill, to go and go for these Israelis, we will accept it gladly. But in terms of Aqidah, we understand their plots and we are totally against them. So this brought much joy to me after hearing the Salah. I said, please come on air. He said, no, no, no. That's a bit dangerous for me.
This is what people don't understand. People haven't been able to speak to other Palestinians. When I was in America, I spoke to a Palestinian about Yasser Arafat. He was still alive at that time. And they said, we don't trust that. We don't trust him. I said, isn't he your leader? He said, no, we don't even know where he was born. It's written that he was born in Jerusalem. He said, no, no one knows him. No one knows of his family. He popped up out of a sudden. So most people believe when Yasser Arafat was alive that he was a Jewish agent, and they were probably right. So it's one thing that the West keeps the Palestinians away from the Muslims of, you know, South Africa and Pakistan, etc. If we're able to speak to more of them, we'll find out even more things. It's shocking. Okay? Because everything we're getting is being fed by the West.
Mm. And that's critical because I don't know about Pakistan, but in South Africa, many people, they just, you know, the herd mentality, what we say, sadly. And yes, look, they said, they raised this question that, look, there's no aid coming from Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah countries or Muslim countries. Or we say, which leader from those countries can you really say that they are Muslim? That's a major question. So then how can you still expect aid from them when they're placed there by the West? Pezeshkian, who's now president of Iran, he said the other day, no, we want close ties and to maintain a good relation with Israel. So there's so much of contradiction that's coming from both sides. We don't know who's who in the zoo anymore. And it's only a matter of time. Allah will expose it.
We had the Islamic army. They had the Pakistani general who had retired. He was leading this army of all these different Muslim countries, and they haven't used it one time. If you're going to use it, now's the time to use it. All right, Pakistan has all the weapons, and you're talking about they have the Muslim bomb, and they don't use it. So the Prophet also said jihad is far until Qiyamah. When are we going to fight jihad? We want to just play cricket. Our biggest action is when there's an Olympics or some kind of sporting event, and Israel is a part of that event or activity, and we protest by waving Palestinian flags, and we boycott the game or the contest that Israel is involved in. So that's our biggest action. Instead of picking up a gun and killing some of these people.
And I'm happy you brought this up, because if you see next week or so, there's going to be a Palestine Freedom Walk. Let's just check the date quickly. But here in where we're staying at the moment, there will be another, they have it on a yearly basis, a Palestine Solidarity Walk. A walk walk for freedom or something of that sort. These walks, we've been having it for so long now. But it, as you said, it's not doing anything. Why is it not doing anything? And people will just go in with their flags screaming around, causing all of this here, but there's no real work that has been done.
Yeah, and what's the name? Well, we had a bicycle race for Palestine here in Pakistan. It's the same thing. The boycott is the big thing. It's still something, the boycott. All right. They see that McDonald's, their profits have gone down, and some of these companies, their profits have gone down. But the amount of Muslims that have been killed, that have been bombed, that doesn't go down. That continues to go up. So we're past 40,000 now. And we're still boycotting McDonald's and Pizza Hut. Okay, all right.
And just one other aspect here is when we see Hamas sent out a letter, if you want to call it a letter, a message rather, and they said, you in the U.S. at the universities, continue your marching. So this was for the non-Muslims, because La Ikraha Fid Din, there is no compulsion upon those. So you, for the non-Muslims, engage in all of this here. But for us as Muslims, it doesn't suit the dignity. It doesn't suit how many principles of Islam you're going to be breaking in this now new religion which we've developed called Palestine, whereas Palestine is not a religion. You want to conquer Palestine, we have to follow the principles of Islam, as the others who came, they followed the principles of Islam, and that's how they went ahead and conquered. It wasn't by marching.
Paradise is only the sages' words. We have to pick up the sword. Right? As Mawlana Tamimi Rahmatullah says so many times, that if you have power, you have to use it. You have to pick up the sword. If you don't have power, then all you have to do sabr, and istighinu bi sabri wa salat, and Allahumma sabri. That's it. Finish. There's nothing else to talk about. We're too coward to pick up a gun. So then all we can do is pray. Okay, have sabr and pray.
And we must say at this juncture, because perhaps you'll get all these people listening in as well, that picking up a gun is not picking up a gun and going and doing what they did now today in Shanghai and in China and doing all these things. That's not a Muslim. Dude, that's terrorism.
Right. Fight, like what the Quran says, fight those who fight you. Okay, clear. And it's this, clear. Fight those who fight you. We don't fight women. We don't fight children. We don't fight the priests. Anything like that. We fight those people that are dropping the bombs on us.
Defending ourselves. Yes.
You know, now we don't even do that. We play cricket with them, and we have problems. Because God is love. With this, the three religions all together. God is love.
Exactly.
We all love each other.
That's exactly what it is. Because you're siding with the enemies of Islam, who are the Kufar, Shia, and this is confirmed by Palestinians as well. They said unity in that we won't, but give us guns, supply us, we'll use the ammunition. But this is their message, and this is what he said to me. How can we befriend those people who are enemies of Allah, of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they reject the Quran Sharif, that it's complete, and 10 Jews, they say, is with the Imam hiding somewhere. So on these major aspects, so we can never unite with them, but on the whole, we can accept their assistance, like we'll accept assistance from any country, anybody. So that was something major. Anyway, Mufti Saab, we wanted to speak on other things, but we leave that for another day as well. So,
okay, inshallah. Maybe tomorrow.
Inshallah. Make dua for us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay. Wa alaikum assalam.
That was Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman. Next, inshallah, we'll go with our news with Haji Suleiman Esop. And thereafter, our Jews for the day, the 28th Jews from us and the team. Jazakumullahu khairah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.